Howdy, everybody. Welcome to Pastor's Point of View. This is Pastor's Point of View, PPOV number 296. Today is April the 12th, 2024. My name is Dr. Andy Woods. I'm the pastor teacher here at Sugarland Bible Church. I'm back with my friend, colleague, fellow elder, associate pastor, Dr. Jim McGowan. And do we, Brother Jim, have a rockin' prophecy update for folks today. And as I was, and the reason I call it a rockin' prophecy update is I just can't, I'm just stunned at how the world is turning against Israel. I can't believe it's happening so quick. On one end of the stick, I'm not surprised because God said it would happen. Right. But on the other end of the stick, I just can't believe this, the speed or rapidity in which it's happening. So,
amen.
All of our news items on today's prophecy update, you know, really relate to the theme of the nations against Israel. And let's just remind ourselves of what God said through the prophet Zechariah 2,500 years ago concerning Israel in the last days. Zechariah 12:3, and then, if you don't mind, 14 verse 2.
All right, going to be reading from the New American Standard 95 update. Zechariah 12:3, it will come about in that day that I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all the peoples. All who lift it will be severely injured, and all the nations of the earth will be gathered against it. And then chapter 14, verses 2 and 3, for I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city will be captured, the houses plundered, the women ravished, and half of the city exiled. But the rest of the people will not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as when he fights on a day of battle.
So, you know, the prophet Zechariah, 500 years before Jesus was ever born into our world, basically predicted two things concerning Israel. Number one, she would be born again politically, but not yet spiritually, because the Spirit is not poured out on the Jewish people until later on in that chapter, verse 10 of Zechariah 12. I mean, that's number one. And, you know, when that happened in 1948, it's kind of interesting that the world was on the side of the nation of Israel, having just come out of the Holocaust. Everybody, even the United Nations, we're going to talk about the corrupt United Nations today, but even the United Nations in that time period said Israel needs a homeland and granted her such. But the prophecies of Zechariah go on, and it predict not only would Israel be nationally born again in unbelief before the Spirit is poured out on her, but in that interim, as she's waiting for the Spirit to be poured out on her, the whole world, it says it over and over again, all the nations would be against her and against the city of Jerusalem, to such a point that Israel would be basically made a stumbling block for the rest of the nations. And I think what's happened, Brother Jim, is since the events of October the 7th of 2023, that whole process has accelerated.
Absolutely.
I thought when the events of October 7th happened and the horrors of what Israel went through began to come to the surface, that the world would side with Israel, but that's not what's happened.
I agree with you,
As Israel has tried to root out terrorism within her own borders, the world is turning against Israel. And so that kind of leads us to our preview slide of what we want to cover here today in four categories. We have, number one, the Palestinians against Israel. Number two, the global structure, the legal system is starting to come into place against Israel. Number three, some typical nations in the Gog-Magog alignment against Israel. And then number four, we're watching our own country turn against Israel. So with all of that being said, let's go to our first category here, Palestinians against Israel. And here we're referring to a Jerusalem Post article written April the 5th, 2024, and it has to do with an interview on that Dr. Phil did. I don't know if you saw this, but it's the title of this article is Son of Hamas, quote, there is no difference between Hamas and the Palestinian people.
Wow.
Close quote. And the subtitle is, in an interview with Dr. Phil, and a discussion with various pro-Palestinian activists, this son of Hamas, whose name is Youssef, talks about the hatred of the Jews in Palestinian society and condemns pro-Palestinian activists. And what he's talking about here is within Gaza, Palestine is a so-called Palestine, what mm-hmm. they want to turn into the Palestinian state. It's comprised of people that basically have a culture that's indistinguishable from Hamas.
Right.
So there's this mindset in the West that, well, there's just some bad leadership over there. Mm-hmm. Oh, we just got to root out a few bad apples over there. No. The culture yeah. of Gaza, the culture of what they want to be a Palestinian state, is basically Islamic and Hamas-oriented.
Yes.
From top to bottom.
Absolutely.
And so what is this article about? And this, it's an interview, and this is brought out well, I think, by Dr. Phil as he's interviewing these activists.
Mossab Hassan Youssef, the son of infamous Hamas co-founder Sheikh Hassan Youssef, said in an interview with Dr. Phil and two pro-Palestinian activists on Tuesday that after October 7, there is no difference between Hamas and the Palestinian people. Youssef began the interview by discussing the hatred of Jews within wider Muslim society after Dr. Phil initially asked him what he was taught as a child in Palestinian society. Youssef responded, quoting, "There's lots of hatred in that culture against the Jewish people. It's not a secret. In fact, the Muslim belief system has a fundamental problem with the Jewish people." The Green Prince argued that October 7 was a religiously motivated attack and says, in the eyes of many Muslims, it is a holy war. Dr. Phil then played a short film displaying UNRWA teachers indoctrinating Gazan children to hate Jews. The video also shows children as young as 8 years old undergoing military training. Several children in the interview talk about a desire to kill Jews. When asked what is the right of return, one boy said, quote, "It means throw stones at Jews and also to slaughter the Jews." Youssef said parents encourage their children to die in pursuit of this goal.
So this is what they're taught from the age of childhood.
It's frightening. It's frightening. He goes on and says, he says that these activists are supporting a monster that is pushing the entire Middle East towards a global war. He claimed that none of the pro-Palestinian activities have condemned the atrocities of Hamas on October 7. He says that Hamas is the enemy of civilization. He says he is outraged and that the pro-Palestinian activism is insanity. Dr. Phil asked the university activists if they endorsed Hamas's attack on October 7. Palestinian activist Zainab responded that she rejects the premise of the question. Quote, "I don't believe that the person asking me that question has the moral authority to ask it until they first and foremost condemn the violent formation of Israel and the ensuing Palestinian deaths. And in fact, I find it unfair that advocates for Palestine are first forced to preemptively condemn acts of violence before their platform is considered legitimate." And we're not done yet. It goes on. After posing the question again, Salma, the second pro-Palestinian activist, responded by highlighting violence she claims has been committed against Palestinians and called questions asking to condemn the violence of Hamas hypocritical, as she claims Palestinian suffering is not recognized. Now, quoting, "Now we have the problem with the pro-Palestinian who are actually given Hamas cover. They're participants in the crime. In fact, since October 7, I personally don't differentiate between Hamas and so-called Palestinians because there are actually no so-called Palestinians. There are tribes," Youssef states. Goes on, he continues to say that she is just helping Hamas prove to the world that Palestinians or Palestine depends on the destruction of the state of Israel.
So here's this insider saying, look, what's the difference between Hamas and the Palestinians? Yeah. Nothing.
Right.
It's the culture from top to bottom. the mindset of Hamas dominates the so-called Palestinians.
Finally, some honesty.
Yeah, and it takes an insider, a son of Hamas, mm-hmm. to educate us in the West, because we don't get it. We just think it's some bad, a few bad apples. And then you notice that when Dr. Phil questions these activists, do you think that what Hamas did to Israel October the 7th and following was wrong? Let's put a parenthetical break in there. What Israel suffered on October the 7th is the equivalent, numerically speaking, of our 9/11.
Absolutely.
And then that, beyond that, there were acts of barbarism committed that, you know, are indescribable.
Unbelievable.
Okay, Mr. or Mrs. Palestinian activist, would you condemn those attacks? And what do they immediately start talking about? The formation of the State of Israel in 1948 and the supposed violence that was committed there.
Right.
So they're trying to draw a moral equivalence between what they did to Israel versus the birth of the State of Israel in 1948, which, by the way, was completely and totally by the book.
Absolutely.
And legal.
Absolutely.
And we believe, in fact, a fulfillment of Bible prophecy.
Yes.
So it's like dealing with Obama when he made his comments about the events of October 7th. He said what Hamas did was wrong, but the occupation, in other words, what Israel is supposedly doing since 1948, is unbearable.
Yeah.
So the two, they're both freedom fighters on both sides, is basically what's being said here.
Right.
And this is the culture of Hamas. And these are the people that the nation of Israel is supposed to coexist with and let them build a state within the borders of Israel for purposes of coexistence. The whole thing, to my mind, is insanity, because we don't really understand the culture of destruction that the Palestinian movement and Hamas represents. What would you add to that?
I just thought it was very insightful that this individual mentioned the fact that this was a religious issue, not political.
Yes, going back to the tenets of Islam.
There it is.
Well, let's go here to number two, which deals with globalism versus Israel. And let's remind ourselves what the Bible teaches about one world government in the last days. What does Daniel 7, verse 23 predict?
Daniel 7, 23. Thus he said, the fourth beast will be a fourth kingdom on the earth, which will be different from all the other kingdoms, and will devour the whole earth and tread it down and crush it.
So there is coming upon the world a one world government, the final form of Gentile dominion that will exist before the return of Christ. And as we go further with this concept of one world government, and we've talked a lot about different facets of it in our different shows, but one of the facets that we really haven't highlighted enough is that it will have embedded within it a legal framework that will allow it, global governance, to persecute the Jewish people. We see that prophecy. I don't think we have a slide on this particular one, but we see it in Daniel 7, verse 21. What does that say?
Daniel 7, 21. I kept looking, and that horn was waging war with the saints and overpowering them.
Now, we understand the saints here eschatologically to be not the church in the tribulation period, but the Jewish people in the tribulation period. And notice that this little horn, or the Antichrist, is coming out of this ten-horn governmental structure, and it specifically says he will persecute the Jewish people.
Yeah, it does.
We do have a slide here on Daniel 7:25. What does that say? It says something very similar.
Yes, sir. Daniel 7:25, he will speak out against the Most High and wear down the saints of the Highest One, and he will intend to make alterations in times and in law, and they will be given into his hand for a time, times, and half a time.
So as we get closer to the end of the age, what we're supposed to look for is a new world order that will have a official enforcement mechanism embedded or built within it to persecute the Jewish people.
Right.
That's why this particular headline here jumped right off the page at me when I saw this. This was written in ArabNews.com, April 5th, 2024, and it says, Arab states, now, in one of our articles, we're going to run into something called the OIC. People need to know what that is. That stands for the Organization of Islamic Cooperation. Those are the Islamic powers within the United Nations that wield a disproportionate political influence when they all agree on something.
Yeah.
And they all agree on something. They
yes,
all
they
agree
do.
That Israel needs to get out of the way.
That's right.
And we need that area evacuated of the Jewish presence from what they call the river to the sea. Mm. And so what you're seeing in the United Nations, and this is the reason the United Nations is so anti-Semitic today and why so yeah. many resolutions routinely go against the Jewish people, is it's comprised by this dominant group called the OIC. Mm-hmm. Well, what they're arguing for now, these Arab states, OIC, is a legal enforcement mechanism to legally coerce Israel into
yeah.
accepting a terrorist state, i.e. a Palestinian state,
right.
within their own borders. So this headline says, Arab states tell the UN Security Council to use enforcement power.
Wow.
To make Israel comply with a ceasefire resolution. Mm. So in other words, over Ramadan, Israel, you can't root out terrorism within
right.
your own borders.
Yeah.
And by the way, we didn't condition that on a release of any hostages either. You just can't do it.
Yeah.
And Israel doesn't want to comply with that. The United States could have stopped this, but didn't.
Yeah. Surprise.
Israel doesn't want to comply with it because she would be acquiescing her ability to defend herself as a country, mm-hmm. which is the right of any sovereign country.
Yeah.
And the OIC mm-hmm. comes along and says, well, we're going to make you comply.
Yeah.
So what's going on here?
Yeah. Can I just make
absolutely.
A quick comment?
Absolutely.
I was actually in Israel during Ramadan. And one of the reasons, see, if you haven't been there and seen
right.
what's taking place, you don't understand the significance of this ceasefire during Ramadan, because you're going to have in excess of 1 million Muslims flooding into Jerusalem, into the temple area. And so if we're going to have a compelled ceasefire during that time, what's to prevent all the terrorists to come on in?
Yeah.
See, you have to know some of the background here. Yeah, it's kind of scary.
Yes, it is.
Well, here's the article. The group of Arab countries at the UN on Friday called on the Security Council to invoke Chapter 7 of the UN Charter to force Israel to implement an immediate ceasefire in Gaza for the remainder of Ramadan and allow humanitarian workers to freely distribute aid and prevent a looming famine in the territory. Chapter 7 of the UN Charter grants the Security Council the power to order military action and non-military measures, such as sanctions, to ensure its resolutions are implemented and to, quote, restore international peace and security. Abdulaziz Al-Wasil, the permanent representative of Saudi Arabia to the UN and the chair of the Arab group for the month of April, said, the Arab group calls upon this council to adopt a resolution under Chapter 7 of the UN Charter to ensure that Israel, the occupying power,
their words, not ours,
mm-hmm, would abide a ceasefire and to give access to humanitarian aid and put an end to the evil aggression on the Palestinian people and provide protection for them. And then the article continues. Soripto warned, and this person is the Save the Children chief. Soripto warned council members that, quote, if we continue down this path of all parties to the conflict flagrantly breaching the rules of war and international humanitarian law, zero accountability, and powerful nations refusing to use the levers of influence at their disposal, then the next set of mass deaths of children in Gaza will not be from bullets and bombs. It will be from starvation and malnutrition. She called on council members to pass, quote, a permanent ceasefire resolution, including robust measures to ensure compliance by parties to the conflict.
Now, in our show notes that we're reading from, we emboldened these phrases, the levers of influence,
yeah,
and the second phrase, robust measures to ensure compliance. What they're talking about is the force of law.
Exactly.
You know, you're going to abide whether you want to or not, because we're going to coerce you into it. It's very similar, Brother Jim, to a article that we covered, I think, in our last point of view, pastor's point of view, concerning the International Criminal Court and its ability to, as people are working on this, to now go out and prosecute legally the crime of crime. I put that in quotes because it's a made-up crime, the crime of ecocide.
Yes.
So watch this very carefully, folks, as the New World Order comes into existence. Watch the teeth emerge on this, where it actually will have legal or compliance powers to coerce its way and its will into the world. And of course, that's what Daniel 7 predicts would happen.
It does.
Concerning the Antichrist and the Jewish people. Let's see. I think there was there more from that article to read, or I guess we get
it.
I guess we got it all.
Yep.
Now, this takes us to a subsequent article, and the Israeli ambassador to the UN, whose last name is Gilad Erdan, is speaking up. And boy, does he make a lot of sense.
Yes, he does.
He says, quote, in this particular article, we're getting this from the title, Israel National News, April 8th, 2024. Ambassador Erdan, quote, if Hitler were alive today, he would sing the UN's praises. Mm. Israeli ambassador to the UN, Gilad Erdan, presents a photograph of Hitler and the Mufti together at the UN during a meeting on the Gaza war. Mm. And then he makes some comments about the Palestinian Authority now requesting membership status within the United Nations.
Yeah.
What's going on here?
Israel's ambassador to the United Nations, Gilad Erdan, spoke today in the General Assembly at a meeting on the war in Gaza. At the beginning of his remarks, Ambassador Erdan referred to the historical connection between the Palestinians and Hitler and presented a photo from the meeting of Mufti Haj Amin al-Husseini with Hitler on the UN stage.
So in other words, the relationship between Hitlerism, you know, genocide against the Jewish people, and the Palestinians goes way back. Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
There's a footnote of history that very few people, I think, know about.
Yes. And ignorance is bliss, right?
Yes, it is.
Quoting now, from well before the establishment of the UN or the State of Israel, the Palestinians' goal has been clear, the annihilation of the Jews. Haj Amin al-Husseini, the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, and one of the founding fathers of Palestinian nationalism, worked hand in hand with Hitler to achieve this. And from then until today, the root of this conflict has not changed. It is not a political conflict or about partitioning land. It is solely about the destruction of Israel and the murder of the Jews. Ambassador Erdan referred to the Security Council's attempt to promote permanent member state status in the UN for the Palestinians. Quote, the UN, the organization founded to prevent Nazi ideology from spreading, has committed itself to reinforcing modern-day Nazi jihadists. And today, breaking the Guinness World Record for rewarding terror, the UN now, in complete violation of its charter, is considering to force the establishment of a Palestinian terror state. He goes on, this won't be a regular state. Listen to this, folks. It will be a Palestinazi state, an entity that achieved statehood despite being committed to terror and Israel's annihilation. If Hitler was alive today, he would be singing the UN's praises. If this happens, the UN will be remembered as a body that has been hijacked by dictators and human rights violators, a body that rewards Nazi-like monsters.
All right, stopping you right there for just a second. Basically, what he's saying is this institution was set up to stop Nazism.
Exactly.
And now it's becoming very Nazi-esque.
Purveyor.
By creating a legal mechanism that's forcing the existence of a so-called Palestinian state within our borders. Now, let's put up our map. I apologize to our folks that are our producers today because I've been skipping around a little too much. But here's the map that we were supposed to put up a little earlier, and let's just remind ourselves of what they want when they keep talking about this Palestinian state. It's that lighter brown area. They want that turned over to the Palestinians, which one of the sons of Hamas says is indistinguishable from Hamas.
Yeah.
So create this terrorist, giant terrorist cell within our nation. And the United Nations, because of the influence of the OIC, is moving in a direction where they're creating a legal mechanism to force Israel to accept this.
Yes.
And by the way, how well is that going to work? Is that just going to lead to bliss and peace, as we're told? Well, all you got to do is look at the southwestern portion of the map, and there's that brown, dark brown strip called Gaza.
Yeah.
There's your Palestinian state. Israel turned that over to the Gazans in 2004. It was a beautiful area, beachfront property, natural resources, botanical gardens, and they gave it away, which means Israel isn't oppressing the Gazans.
Yeah.
How do you oppress the Gazans if you give them freedom to run things the way they want?
That's
and they
right.
had one and only one election in 2005. They elected Hamas. They destroyed anything that's good in that part of the country.
Yeah.
And they turned it into a vehicle for launching rockets and tunnels of terror into the land of Israel.
Yeah.
They turned it into a terrorist cell. Now, if they're going to do that for that little tiny region, what in the world do you think they're going to do with this so-called Palestinian state in that lighter brown area? And yet this is what the United Nations, an institution established to prevent the spread of Nazism, is now thinking about doing to the Jewish people through legal coercion. Help us with
that. They're going to need to apologize to Hitler,
yes,
I think, the UN. Well, finishing the article here, finally, Ambassador Erdogan referred to the Palestinian Authority's non-compliance with the requirement for UN permanent member state recognition, quoting, "Let me remind everyone, the basic requirements for admission to the UN are A, permanent population, B, defined territory, C, government, and D, capacity to enter relations with other states. And a very important principle that was stated in Article 4 of the UN Charter is, quote, membership in the United Nations is open to all peace-loving states. Peace-loving. Nothing is clearer than the fact that the Palestinians fail to meet these criteria. For many years, the PA has been paying terrorists for their murderous terrorist attacks. This is not customary. It is Palestinian legislation. According to the Palestinian law, Palestinian terrorists are paid monthly salaries for murdering Israelis. Internalize this. These salaries can reach thousands of dollars each month, and they are on a rising scale. The longer the prison sentence you get, the higher the salary. You murder more Jews, you get more money." Ambassador Erdogan concluded, "If the Security Council chooses to advance this prize for barbarism, it is no longer, or excuse me, it no longer deserves to be called the Security Council. It shall forever be known as the Terror Council."
Now, Ambassador Erdogan is raising a second issue. The so-called Palestinian Authority wants to be a member state within the nation of Israel. He says they don't meet the criteria. They're not peace-loving because their own culture rewards people for killing Jews.
Atrocities, yes.
And if you are a suicide bomber, your whole family is, you know, well off, paid off,
yep,
you know, for the
maintained.
rest of their existence. Beyond that, the Palestinian people are a fake people.
That's right.
There's no such thing as a Palestinian.
Right.
There's the whole concept of Palestine is made up. There's no Palestinian currency. There's no Palestinian archaeology. You can't go down a list of names of past Palestinian leaders like you can in nearby Egypt, for example. And so it's not even a real nation. And they've been given this status, as we're going to learn in just a second, as a non-member observer. Mm-hmm. Well, now these folks in the United Nations want to up them to membership. And this explains why the UN is becoming an anti-Semitic organization, developing legal powers to coerce the Jewish people to accept a terrorist cell within their own borders, because these kinds of things are routinely happening in the United Nations, which, by the way, Brother Jim, we as the United States pay for, last time I checked, 40% of the budget.
God help us.
And now the big issue is the Palestinian Authority wants to become a member of the United Nations when they're not a peace-loving group, number one. And number two, they're not even a legitimate real people group. So that transitions us into the next article here from RT.com. April the 3rd, 2024, it says, Palestine asks for UN membership. The Palestine Authority has relaunched its bid to rejoin the UN after a failed attempt in 2011. And it looks like, although the United States could stop this, it's going to sit on it. We're going to sit on its hand, our hands again and allow it to happen. Help us with this article, unless you wanted to comment on the prior article.
The only thing I was going to say, and it applies to this one too, is how can you have a Palestinian when there's no such thing as a Palestine? It's always been the land of Israel.
That's right.
Okay, well, here's the next article. The Palestinian Authority has formally requested that it be admitted as a full-fledged member of the United Nations. The state of Palestine has held observer status at the UN since 2012, but full membership would amount to a recognition of Palestinian statehood, which Israel opposes. Quote, today the state of Palestine, again notice the wording, and upon instructions of the Palestinian leadership, sent a letter to the Secretary General requesting renewed consideration to our membership application. The Palestinian Authority's permanent envoy to the UN, Riyad Mansour, wrote in a post on X on Tuesday. In a separate letter to the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, the Arab Group Organization for Islamic Cooperation, that's your OIC, and Non-Aligned Movement all backed Mansour's request. Under the governance of the PA, the state of Palestine claims sovereignty over territory considered Palestinian before the outbreak of the 1967 Six-Day War. This includes Gaza, the entire West Bank, and East Jerusalem.
So we're going to allow the Palestinian Authority to become a member of the United Nations when they think that area that we had on the map earlier, that lighter brown area, belongs to them.
Yeah.
And then that darker brown area, Gaza, belongs to them.
Yep.
I mean, this is their stated goal, and they want a presence in the United Nations. And I'm including this article because it's just another example of how the New World Order global structure with its enforcement powers moving in an anti-Semitic direction is coming into existence.
Yes, sir. All right, finishing up the article, while the PA's renewed application would again be at risk of veto from the U.S., Washington has signaled that it is willing to break from its usual policy of vetoing any Security Council decision that goes against Israeli interests. Wow. Last month, the U.S. abstained from voting and allowed the Council to adopt a resolution demanding an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. Despite the U.S.'s continued military support for Israel, the abstention was seen as a sign of a widening rift between Netanyahu and U.S. President Joe Biden. Some 140 U.N. member states have already recognized the state of Palestine.
Now, you've got 140 U.N. member states that are on board with the Palestinian Authority becoming a member state, but you have the U.S., the way the veto system is set up in the United Nations Security Council, the U.S. has the power to stop this.
Sure does.
The United States, who, by the way, pays for 40% of the budget, has the power to prevent the Palestinian Authority from becoming a United Nations member state.
Yep.
That power is within our hands.
Yep.
And it looks like, well, we don't know exactly what's going to happen, but what could happen is the United States will abstain again and allow this to happen, just like we just abstained related to imposing a ceasefire on Israel over the month of Ramadan.
Yeah.
We just did it.
Yeah.
We just abstained. Why wouldn't we abstain here as well? So this is really something to keep our eyes on.
And pray about.
And absolutely, and pray about, because these last three articles communicate a global New World Order structure is coming into existence with great hostility against the nation of Israel. Mm. Let's move to our third category here. The Gog-Magog alignment is fitting everything that we've said so far.
Mm, sure is.
We're going to make a few comments about Russia and then Turkey. We do believe Russia is prominent in Ezekiel 38 as Rosh. Mm-hmm. Turkey is prominent in Ezekiel 38 and 39 as Meshach, Tubal, Gomer, and Togarma. Those are the nations that will invade the nation of Israel in the last days in a conflict yet future, we believe predicted in Ezekiel 38 and 39. Amen. If you want the documentation why Rosh equals Russia, and why Meshach and Tubal and Gomer and Togarma equal Turkey, I recommend my short book that I wrote entitled The Middle East Meltdown. Unfortunately, we don't have time to give you all that documentation in a shorter show like this, but people can get the documentation if they're interested. But let's go ahead and start with Russia. There's our map with Rosh or Russia as one of the predicted invaders of Israel. Russia there is circled, and Russia is falling exactly into the alignment that Ezekiel predicted 2,600 years ago.
Absolutely.
Notice this article from the Jerusalem Post, again, April 3rd, 2024, and it says, a message to Israel. Russia deploys more forces in Syria's Golan Heights. Now, where is the Golan Heights? It's, we believe, within the borders of Israel.
Yes.
It's kind of a rocky area that separates Israel proper from Syria. Mm-hmm. So it's a really important place for Israel militarily and
That's
strategically.
Right.
It was Trump that basically recognized that the Golan Heights belonged to Israel. And what you see happening is Russia is piling up, as we speak, troops in Syria, just north of the Golan Heights, and you wonder why she's doing that.
Yeah.
Why is she piling up troops there? Well, we think it's largely a stage-setting event for this northern invasion spearheaded by Russia in the last days. But help us with that article.
Russia's defense ministry announced on Wednesday it had deployed additional forces in the Syrian-controlled areas of the Golan Heights, where Israel had allegedly struck at an increasing rate over the last few months. Last year, Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov accused the United States of being hypocritical in its recognition of the Golan Heights as part of sovereign Israel. Just before Russia's invasion of Ukraine in February 2022, its deputy ambassador to Geneva told the UN Security Council that, quote, Russia doesn't recognize Israel's sovereignty over Golan Heights that are part of Syria, close quote.
So we're going to pile up troops and armament and so forth in Syria and the Golan Heights. But wait a minute, the Golan Heights belong to Israel. Well, we don't recognize that.
Yeah.
In fact, the article says it twice. Yeah. Russia does not recognize that the Golan Heights belong to Israel.
Yeah.
Well, that's convenient. That allows you to pile up troops wherever you want in anticipation of this northern invasion. I mean, with all of the talk about the NCAA championship and all of the different things that are captivating the minds of people, this is what's happening in real time in our world. Russia is exactly in the alignment that Ezekiel predicted she would be in just prior to the end of the age. And
Amen,
it's not
brother.
Just Russia, it's Turkey. Here's our map with Turkey circled. Turkey also will be one of the invaders, and continued hostility continues to manifest itself between Turkey and Israel. Notice this article from Reuters.com, April 9th, 2024. Turkey imposes export restrictions on Israel until Gaza ceasefire. What's happening here?
Turkey restricted exports of a wide range of products to Israel on Tuesday until a ceasefire is declared in Gaza, in Ankara's first significant measure against Israel after 6 months of war. Israel said it would respond to the measures, which include curbs on exports of steel, fertilizer, and jet fuel, with its own restrictions on products from Turkey. And the article continues, Israel Katz said that Turkish President Tayyip Erdogan is again sacrificing the economic interests of the people of Turkey in order to support Hamas, and we will respond in kind. Shortly after the Israel-Hamas war started, Turkey and Israel withdrew their ambassadors while regularly trading barbs. Tuesday's move is the first significant measure taken by Ankara against Israel since the start of the conflict.
Turkey and Israel withdrew their ambassadors. Isn't that the first sign? Isn't that the first thing that happens before a war breaks out?
That's exactly what happens, yes.
And here is Turkey imposing all kinds of economic restrictions on Israel. I mean, anybody that knows anything about history knows that trade restrictions like this, a trade war, let's put it this way, is a precursor to a physical war.
Of course.
And so exactly what Ezekiel said would happen with Russia in alignment, Turkey in alignment. We don't even have time to go into Iran. I mean, every single nation is exactly where it's supposed to be in order for the end times script to be fulfilled.
Amen.
With that being said, let's go to our fourth and final category here. You know, it's the U.S. against Israel.
We've already made
some references to this, but even the late, great United States is not on the same page as Israel. Notice this article from Breitbart.com, April 4th, 2024. It deals with Secretary of State Anthony Blinken warns Israel is becoming like Hamas.
Gosh. Wow.
Because she's losing reverence for human life. In other words, Hamas, Israel, no difference.
It's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. And so we're back to moral equivalence.
Yeah.
In other words, what Hamas did to Israel October the 7th is no different than Israel responding by trying to root out Hamas within Gaza. Even the United States, a longtime ally of Israel, is starting to sound this way. So help us with this article.
Secretary of State Anthony Blinken warned that Israel was becoming like the terrorist organization Hamas in remarks on Thursday, suggesting that both showed the same disregard for civilian life, evidence to the contrary. Israel is a democracy. Democracies place the highest value on human life, every human life. As it has been said, whoever saves a life saves the entire world, Blinken says during a press conference in Brussels, quoting a Jewish proverb. That's our strength. It's what distinguishes us from terrorists like Hamas. If we lose that reverence for human life, we risk becoming indistinguishable from those we confront.
Now, this loss of human life, there must be massive amounts of evidence,
apparently,
right, that Israel is disrespecting human life,
yes,
as she's trying to root out Hamas from Gaza. Does such evidence exist?
Let's find out.
Let's find out.
Blinken did not provide evidence that Israel was failing to protect civilians. Earlier this week, Israel concluded a two-week battle in which it killed 200 terrorists who had holed up in Shifa Hospital. There were zero civilian casualties.
Well, let's back up here a minute. It killed 200 terrorists who had holed up in a hospital, and there were zero civilian casualties. Doesn't sound to me like a nation that has lost regard for human life.
That's miraculous.
Yes.
They're in a hospital.
They're
hiding behind patients, Pastor.
Yeah. Why are they in the hospital, Brother Jim?
Because they're hiding behind patients.
Because that's how Hamas operates. They hide in places where... If Israel retaliates, there's going to be civilian casualties.
That's exactly right.
Then they could run to the UN and say, look at all these civilian casualties,
yes,
which you could have avoided by not hiding in a hospital and behind women and children.
Preach it.
But we digress.
Mm. Okay, so again, there were zero civilian casualties. The ratio of civilians killed to terrorists killed in Israel's counterattack in Gaza is less than 2-1. an historic low.
Historic low.
Last month, West Point professor John Spencer wrote that Israel had set a new standard for urban warfare. Quoting, "All available evidence shows that Israel has followed the laws of war, legal obligations, best practices in civilian harm mitigation, and still found a way to reduce civilian casualties to historically low levels," close quote.
You know, if civilians are in jeopardy, Israel dumps leaflets telling
yes.
the civilians to
ahead
get
of time.
Ahead of time,
yes.
thank you, to get out of harm's way. There is no other nation that I know of that does that.
I've never heard of that.
In the midst of warfare.
No.
But these facts seem to have escaped the diatribe of Blinken.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, does it get worse? Yes, it does. Notice this article from Times of Israel and Reuters, April the 6th, 2024. Pelosi, why won't she just retire and go away?
You know, that's
she
all you have to say is Pelosi, it just sets the stage.
She keeps showing up. Pelosi joins call by 37 Democrats for Biden to halt transfer of U.S. weapons to Israel.
Yeah.
What's happening here?
Several dozen Democratic members of Congress, including former Speaker Nancy Pelosi, have sent a letter to U.S. President Joe Biden and Secretary of State Antony Blinken calling for a halt on arms transfers to Israel following an IDF strike in Gaza that killed seven staffers of the World Central Kitchen, including a dual U.S. citizen. Quoting, "In light of this incident, we strongly urge you to reconsider your recent decision to authorize the transfer of a new arms package to Israel and to withhold this and any future offensive arms transfers until a full investigation into the airstrike is completed," the House representatives wrote. Quoting, "We also urge you to withhold these transfers if Israel fails to sufficiently mitigate harm to innocent civilians in Gaza, including aid workers, and if it fails to facilitate or arbitrarily denies or restricts the transport and delivery of humanitarian aid in Gaza," they said, noting that Israel has said it did not intentionally target the aid workers. The Congress members said that, quote, "If this is true, it is a shockingly unacceptable mistake." Most of the signatories were from the Democrats' left flank, but the backing by Pelosi indicated support for stopping weapons deliveries to Israel is increasingly becoming mainstream among Democrats.
Now, that last sentence bears repetition, because here the left is trying to get our government to not help Israel with weapons
exactly.
in their time of need.
Exactly.
Now, you would expect this kind of thing from Rashida Tlaib.
Yeah.
Ilhan Omar, you know, you would expect this thing from AOC.
The squad.
But it says here most of the signatories to this were from the Democrats' left-wing flank. No surprise there.
Mm-hmm.
But the backing by Pelosi indicated support for stopping weapons to deliveries to Israel is increasingly becoming mainstream or popular among mm-hmm. mainstream Democrats. And so even so-called middle-of-the-roaders, if there is such a thing in the
yes.
Democratic yes. Party, are jumping on board with this. And we're, Brother Jim, we're living in a climate where, as one of our articles said earlier, more and more daylight now exists between the United States and Israel. Sad, but not surprising given Zechariah's prophecies. And
right.
by the way, folks, it's not going to bode well for us as we move this direction. Can you remind us what Genesis 12 and verse 3 says?
Genesis 12, 3, "And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed."
So you come against Israel, and God says your country will be cursed. You know, I think our historic help of the Jewish people is one of the few things today that's kept God's hand of blessing on the United States of America. And it looks like even that is about to be taken away, if I'm reading these headlines correctly.
Mm-hmm.
look at this headline here of something that God, I believe, is allowing in the United States of America. This is our final article. This one from Breitbart, April the 7th, 2024. It deals with something that recently took place in Michigan. It was an anti-Israel protest movement, but it wasn't just an anti-Israel protest movement. It was an anti-death to America and death to Israel protest movement. It says, Michigan anti-Israel protesters chant death to America on International Al-Quds Day. What's happening here?
Anti-Israel protesters in Dearborn, Michigan closed out Ramadan by chanting death to America and death to Israel during an International Al-Quds Day rally. Video of the protest went viral on social media Sunday, showing activists condemning both Israel and America in the harshest of terms.
Wow.
Activist Tariq Bazzi of the Hadi Institute said chants of death to America and death to Israel were only logical. Quote, why are our protests on the International Day of Al-Quds, why are they so anti-American, he asked. Why don't we just focus more on Israel and not talk so much about America? Gaza has shown the entire world why these protests are so anti-America. Because it's the United States government that provides the funds for all the atrocities that we just heard about.
Now interrupting you just for a second. This is such a big deal, this statement.
It is.
Here are these people, this guy orchestrating this anti-Israel rally. Well, why do you keep tearing down America simultaneously? He goes, well, it's just logical.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it logical? Because it's the United States funding Israel. Now, keep in mind, folks, within Islamic thought, in Shiite theocracies,
here it comes.
For example, we are the great Satan.
There it is.
Israel is little Satan.
That's right.
So you as an American, you know, might jump on board with all this anti-Israel rhetoric. All you're really doing is sharpening the knife that will slit your own throat one day. Because these people are not just against Israel. They're against the little Satan and the great Satan.
That's exactly
and
right.
And it's almost like as our country turns its back on Israel, God is allowing this, Genesis 12, verse 3, into our own nation.
I believe it.
Wow. We got a little more on this article, don't we?
We do. Imam Khomeini, who declared the International Al-Quds Day, this is why he would say to pour all your chants and all your shouts upon the head of America. He later added, Bazzi then quoted Malcolm X, who said the United States is, quote, one of the rottenest countries that has ever existed on this earth. Bazzi called for the elimination of the entire American system.
Not just parts of America that they disagree with. We got to scrap the whole thing.
The whole thing. Referring to President Joe Biden as Genocide Joe.
So I guess Biden is too conservative for these people.
Too conservative for them. He's continuing his quote. It's not just Genocide Joe that has to go, Bazzi said. It's the entire system that has to go. Any system that would allow such atrocities and such devilry to happen and would support it. Such a system does not deserve to exist on God's earth.
Meaning all is earth.
All is earth.
Yeah.
Regarding those who might say that Israel has a right to exist, Bazzi told the crowd to always respond with death to Israel, referring to it as the most logical chant shouted across the world today.
So I want people to understand that the agenda here is not coexistence with Israel.
No.
It's eradication. It's building a terrorist state within the borders of Israel to make the job of eradication of Israel all the more easier. It's just a step on their path to, you know, caliphate. Worldwide triumph of Islam. And by the way, if you think that if they're going to stop with Israel, they're not. Here they're talking about the dismantling of the entire American system.
Yes, sir.
So as we kind of review our material, we've dealt with a lot of material today dealing with the world against Israel. Palestinians against Israel, the global structure coming against Israel, the Gog-Magog alignment against Israel, even the United States against Israel. Again, troubling, but not surprising, given the prophecies of Zechariah. Of course, the Bible is very balanced, believe it or not. In the midst of the bad news, it gives us the good news.
It does.
And what is that?
The good news is Titus 2:13. We're looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus.
So against this very dark background, we have the promise of Jesus. When you put something against a dark background, it sure looks bright, doesn't it?
It sure does, yes.
And that's what we have with the blessed hope that any moment Jesus promises to return to rescue the church from the earth before the wrath of God hits planet Earth. And people, how can people out there be tied into that promise?
Well, it's contrary to what the world would tell you, and even some churches. It's the simplest thing in the world. You put your faith, your trust, your confidence, another word for belief, in Jesus Christ, who paid your sin debt on the cross, who died, was buried, and rose again for your justification. And if you will believe that, you become part of the family of God, and you now have access to this wonderful promise in Titus 2:13. And our encouragement for you today is to do just that, and to do it today, because the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. None of us knows how long we have. So contemplate that, think about that, but do more than that, do it.
Amen. And that's the best news God ever gave man.
It is.
The gospel, which is so simple. Before we close, just a few infomercials. Want to direct people to our app in the App Store. Go to Andy Woods Ministries in the search engine in the App Store and download our free app. All of our content we're seeking to routinely upload there. Beyond that, Pastor's Point of View is available in podcast format. Go to wherever it is you get your podcasts, type in Andy Woods Ministries into the search engine, and you'll see our stuff is accessible, Pastor's Point of View anyway, in podcast format. Please go to our website, andywoodsministries.org, for another place to get our content. We're constantly uploading there as well, and there's also a conspicuous way on the homepage to sign up for our show notes. Mm-hmm. And every time we post a new Pastor's Point of View show, these show notes will show up in your inbox and you can search the articles yourself and see if these things, in fact, are so.
And we only get the chance to really cover portions of these notes, so be sure and get them because there's a whole lot more there.
That's exactly correct. And beyond that, I'm the president of a seminary called Chafer Theological Seminary. If you're interested in theological training, go to chafer.edu. And our journal is alive and up and kicking.
Amen.
Thanks to the hard work of a lot of people, we've renamed it Pneumatikos, which means spiritual or spiritually. And it's got some academic articles in it that will come out, I think, 2 to 3 times a year. And I have an article in the first renewed edition that's come back to life on why the rapture is not found in Matthew 24.
Amen.
Boy, people are very confused on that
today.
Boy,
are they.
We believe in the rapture, as we heard earlier, but the Olivet Discourse is not the right place to look for it. And I'm going to be coming out with part 2 saying the place to look for the rapture doctrine and the teachings of Jesus is in John 14.
That's right.
Verses 1 through 3. So that's what my articles are about there. And as you look, you'll see many other fine articles defending our dispensational biblical worldview. And I'm going to be I hope I'm pronouncing this right.
Waukesha.
Now I'm embarrassed because I can't even pronounce where I'm supposed to be. County Expo, Wisconsin. I'll get the pronunciation right for the next show. VCY Rally. That's going to be April 27th at 6 p.m. I'm going to be teaching on the signs of the times. That's put together with VCY Radio, led by Jim Schneider. And so they asked me to participate in their radio rally. And so this is my first time doing that.
Awesome.
So I'm looking forward to seeing a lot of our folks that normally follow our show in Wisconsin. Looking forward to meeting you that particular evening. We've got a big following, Brother Jim, in Wisconsin.
Oh, boy.
And these kinds of things is certainly one of the reasons. And you say, well, what are you going to be doing April 28th then, Sunday? I'll be at Word of Life Bible Church in Milwaukee. speaking in their morning service the following Sunday. And here at Sugarland Bible Church, Dennis Roxer will be in the pulpit.
Yes. Awesome.
Sunday school and also the main service that follows, doing a two-part series on repentance.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
And we really misunderstand repentance.
Well, people need to hear this,
evangelicalism today. I would entitle his messages Repenting of Our Understanding of Repentance.
Amen to that.
Because when people hear the word repentance, they think it means penance.
Yeah, that's right.
So they have to do a bunch of good works. In other words, to get right with the Lord, when the Bible says you get right with the Lord based on faith alone in Christ alone.
Okay,
repentance is a synonym for faith alone, not an antonym. So Dennis Roxer is going to be dealing with that. If you're in the Sugarland area, he's also going to be doing a evangelistic seminar April the 27th, Saturday evening at 6:30 p.m. Central. We are working on getting that recorded for the benefit
That'd
of anybody
be
that wants to access it. They have kind of a survey evangelism that they use, and apparently they've seen a lot of fruit in their ministry. Dennis Roxer, Duluth Bible Church, etc., using this survey at different county fairs and things of that nature. So he's going to be showcasing that. And I also want to remind people that I will be in Tulsa, Oklahoma, May 24th and 25th. That's a Friday and Saturday, 2024. It's a prophecy conference featuring notables such as Joe Martin, J.B. Hickson, Philip Goodman. The keynote speaker is Brigitte Gabriel, who comes from an Islamic country, a refugee from an Islamic country, sort of exposing some of the things we've exposed here.
Great.
The agenda of Islam within the true agenda of Islam within the United States of America. So that's all we have for today. Anything you want to add?
I think that we just need to pray for our country and pray that this message gets out to many people.
Amen. And we'll see you next time on Pastor's Point of View. God bless you. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. God bless.
God bless.